I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
The amazing thing that if we learn how to feel as bad as we feel, we'll feel better. Like, just take that in for a second. Like, I mean, exercising, eating well, doing all the things we're doing to try to feel better, telling ourselves we're enough in the mirror and we're beautiful. That's all great. But until you really know how to include and allow the parts that feel bad to feel how they actually feel, you're always going to feel like you're full of it. But when you do that, you get permission to just feel as bad as you feel. And then suddenly you feel better and better and better and better. It's like, I don't know. It's like, it's counterintuitive. And then it becomes like the most simple, obvious thing. And it really works.
What's up, everyone? If you're looking to be inspired, motivated, educated, and entertained, you have come to the right place. Welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast, the podcast where we explore your fitness, life mindsets, and actions that help you become unstoppable. You're worth it, and it's time to finally make changes in your life that will last you the rest of your life. Welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast, everyone. I am Melissa Vogel, your host of this amazing, incredible podcast that's going to change your life. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you are returning, I'm so happy that you came back. And if you are brand new to the show, I am just thrilled that you found us, no matter how that was. Maybe it's through a friend, social media, whatever. This podcast is here to change your life in all areas. It is not just a podcast for moms, believe it or not. It is not just a podcast about health and fitness. We talk about every single topic that affects that journey, your health and fitness journey. And today we're diving into healing feelings and that healing feeling shit show. And this power that you are going to learn that you have will help you unlock areas in your life where you are stuck. And I'm telling you, that's what leads to abs. I know how ridiculous that sounds. I know I've said that before on this podcast before, that like the secret to, you know, a great booty is doing the mental work. And people are like, what? I realize people think I'm crazy when I say that, but it's true. And in order to achieve greatness with your body and physically and feel amazing, you have to achieve greatness in all the areas of your life. And that's why we have today's episode with the incredible Rachel Kaplan. We dive all into that. Now, before we hit that, we are starting to enter into a season of change again. We have the holidays right around the corner, or I guess we can say they're upon us. This is the time where people do start losing themselves. You will hear me talk about this a lot on the podcast, mostly in like the intro and stuff. And I don't do it to sound like a broken record. I don't do it to sound like, oh my God, don't lose yourself. Oh my God, don't lose yourself. This is a season where it happens. I'm sharing this with you guys because I want you to see and to realize that this could be a cycle. This could be your norm, that around this time of year, you really start slowing back on hitting the gym, you don't make the best food choices, and you start to have that mind that goes, you know what, after the holidays, I'll start after the holidays, I'll get going then. And I'm telling you, it's extremely destructive behavior. So tuck that away, because I'm going to hit it a lot, but I want you just to have awareness around it. This is the first time I'm kind of bringing this up right now as we enter into the season, and it'll be brought up a lot more, but I want you to have awareness around it. I want you to take it one day at a time. I want you to focus on how you can become just 1% better today, just one step at a time. And then we'll worry about tomorrow. And then how can you show up for yourself today? What workout can you get in? What movement can you make? What activity can you be involved in? What food choices can you make to support that? And when you take it one step at a time, you are less likely to get overwhelmed. And when you have a plan in place, that plan is your guiding light. A day without a plan is a day that you plan to fail every single time. And I want to help you prevent that. I don't want you to fall into that rut. So get a game plan right now. And many of you listening, I know you are listeners that are loyal and you're like, yes, we're doing this. And you already have a plan in place. And if you're listening to this and you're like, shit, I don't got a plan in place at all. That's okay. Take a deep breath and start today. I want you to go to the show notes and see how we can work together. Book a discovery call with me. I have very limited spots right now because I do keep talking about this on the podcast and then people book and I get really, really full. But if you don't see anything that works for your time or nothing's even available, send me a DM or an email. It's melissavogel@gmail.com. And I'll see what I can do. I see if I can book something up or squeeze you in somewhere. But that discovery call is so important because it's you and I, just us. We get to get on the phone and we get to dive into where are you stuck? What are you looking to achieve? And how can we move forward? That's it, plain and simple. And if I don't think we're a fit to work together, I will tell you that. If I think that you are a fit to get going on just a boot camp, or hey, maybe just try the app program, or hey, maybe you need like that one-on-one coaching, I'll let you know. And then we can come up with a game plan together. But you don't have to do this journey alone. And I know I say this all the time on the intro. I'm sure I sound like a broken record on this topic, but I'm here to help you and I'm here to guide you and motivate and inspire you. So not force you to drink. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make them drink. And it's very similar like that with how I coach and train and everything. This episode today is going to dive into a whole nother level of your healing. And I'm telling you, it's just as important as coming up with a game plan, as having that coaching and that helping, because this talks about a whole other level of healing. And our guest today is Rachel Kaplan. She is the author of the book, Feel, Heal, and Let That Shit Go, Your Guide to Emotional Resilience and Lasting Self-Love. Now, Ms. Rachel is a licensed psychotherapist with a thriving practice in San Francisco Bay Area, and she's the creator and host of the acclaimed podcast, Healing, Feeling, Shit Show. She's very active on social media. I just did a story on her this morning, and then I'll be posting on my platform all week long when this episode airs and goes live, which is right now. But she's very active on there, and you guys have to watch her reels. They're so insightful, and they're great. She has published multiple features in Common Ground. Kaplan has studied yoga, meditation, and hands-on healing practices in India, Nepal. She's earned a master's degree in counseling psychology from the California Institute of Integral Studies and trained in cutting-edge trauma modalities such as EMDR. She divides her time between Oakland and Joshua Tree, California, so she is a fellow Californian with me. She's incredible. Go to her website, TheFeelings, make sure that's plural, TheFeelingsMovement.com, and I think you are going to learn a lot from this episode today. One of my biggest takeaways was when she said, emotions are signals, things need to be moved. Damn, you guys. All right, go on and enjoy the show. Check out the show notes after. And as always, rate and review this podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast. Today I have Rachel Kaplan on. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you for having me, Melissa.
I'm so excited to have you. And this is just like not my norm either. People are going to see this and they're going to be like, where's her microphone? Where's her setting? But I'm traveling this week and
We're raw dogging it.
We are so raw dogging it, girl, for sure. And I'm like, oh no, I'm talking to Rachel. Like, we are not moving this. We are not shifting this. And you have your book out just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
You guys.
48 hours.
Listen to this title. Feel, Heal, and Let That Shit Go. Your Guide to Emotional Resilience and Lasting Self-Love. Wow.
Yeah. It's right here.
And it's yellow. I love that.
Yellow. Yeah.
It is bright yellow. You guys. Okay. So we're going to like dive in because Rachel, you are a podcast host of Healing Feeling Shit Show.
Yeah.
Right. Did I say it right?
Yeah. The Healing Feeling Shit Show. I can sing you the jingle if you want.
Dude, you have a jingle.
I love music. The first thing I did when I decided to make a podcast was write the jingle. It's awesome. It ends in a flush.
God. Okay. I've got to hear it.
All right.
Now, you're also a licensed psychotherapist, author, podcaster, mom. Like, you do it all.
I'm not a mom other than to that book.
Oh, no.
But your audience should
know.
That
is your baby. That is your baby.
Yeah. I'm clear that I'm meant to help the humans who are here versus do the amazing, hardest job in the world, giving all the love to the humans you make. But here for the moms.
We need people like you to guide us and help us grow. Okay, so I have to know, where did this journey start for you of really like diving into your healing journey and feeling all of the feelings and then having the guts to talk about it and write about it and podcast about it?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I had the normal kind of basic wounding that most people have, for sure. Like most, as humans, raised by humans, most people have just some core stuff. So I had that also. But for me, what really initiated me onto being on a relentless, like 30-year quest so far to study healing and to find my own relief was that my first attachment, other than my family, but my first like really obsessive attachment, like with my family, I was kind of distant. And then I met this young boy when I was 12, became obsessed with him, made him my boyfriend, like stopped eating. I was, you know, I was like a 13-year-old, like, I'm going to try to eat only saltines to make him my boyfriend. Made him my boyfriend. And about, we were together officially 6 months, kind of unofficially a year and a half. And then he killed himself. So I should have warned your listeners. And it's a really convoluted story where he kind of trapped me in knowing he was going to do it and not being able to stop him through threats. There's a very long, if you need to have a good cry, if you're dry and you got to get your feels out, episode 4 of season 1 of my podcast will tell you the 90-minute version. It's also in chapter 2 of my book, because I don't think you should listen to any advice from someone if you don't know where they're coming from. So basically that was when I was 14. By 16, I realized, oh my God, I'm totally dead inside. I had moved into my mind to try to avoid this unbearable pain. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I don't think that any person at any age would have dealt well with that. But certainly as a child, I didn't have the tools to deal with it. But when I was 16, I got into another relationship with a friend, kind of accidentally, and then realized how much wounding I had. I realized that I was kind of empty inside. And if I were going to try to build a life on that, it would be like building over a huge hole. And so I got into therapy. Interestingly, the person who wrote the foreword of my book is my high school therapist, who's kind of like a spiritual mom at this point. We stopped more or less when I went to college, had a few points of contact. But a few years ago, she said, we got in touch on Facebook and she said, well, I've been spying on you. I've been watching your life through your podcast, which is mandated listening for all of my patients, which is really amazing. And anyway, so we're back in touch. I'm actually giving a TEDx next week on the East Coast and she's flying out from the Midwest to see it. But basically, like at that point, from age 16 on, I've just been on this tireless quest to find resolution. And I did have a huge healing when I was 18. I thought it was bigger than it was. I was like arrogant and thought I was going to be enlightened and really got into kind of spiritual paths. I ended up studying yoga and meditation and living in India and Nepal. And really what's so interesting is that I thought I was like healed then. And really what I would come to learn over the course of my life is that a trauma that huge and devastating, sometimes we get stuck, we plateau. And there was a way that even a decade, so I started being a therapist or training to be a therapist at 24. And even over a decade into being a very good therapist, I was still kind of hobbling around with this core sense of, am I good enough? Am I okay? Underneath my very polished functioning life. And what I've come to understand is that I think most people have that. Even people who are really dedicated to self-healing, in therapy, doing yoga, eating well, trying their hardest. Everyone's kind of still got those parts deep down that are still hurting and still think that they're full of it, that the rest of their functioning life is a cover-up. And so it wasn't till I actually left a non-viable marriage at age 37. And I had been working with this healer, not a therapist, this like guy who lived in a mud hut doing crazy stuff for about 4 years, all while in this crazy non-functioning marriage, finally left. And in about a year after I left, this is when I was 37, I was like, oh my God, like I love myself. I feel well in a way I never dreamed was possible. And in a way that I don't think most people feel. And so everything I'd done from the podcast to the psychoeducation, I have like all kinds of classes and coursework to certainly the book is like the most refined version of it, is my effort to share what were the specific things that made the difference between me being a highly functional but still wounded person and me having this unshakable baseline of self-love and emotional resilience. Mm-hmm. And it's just felt like this unstoppable mission. And I say that because it's like, I am working really hard. It's been pretty tiring, especially full-time therapy practice, working on this book, doing all this teaching, all of it. But it's like, this is so clearly the best use of my life. And it's really delightful. And I feel like I've been able to describe these things that I really think make the difference in a way that I'm hoping really everyone everywhere can understand, which is why I talk about poop so much, because we all do it. Anyway, I'll leave it there for now. But that is the basic arc of my journey.
Well, I appreciate you sharing all that with us, because I'm just like, so many times, you guys can't see me, but I'm just like, what? Oh my God, my face. I'm like, oh my God. And I give you so much credit, because people don't like diving into this stuff. They don't like admitting that there are these feelings of unworthiness and like question, am I enough? Like I too got out of a marriage.
Congrats.
Thank you. 17 years. And when I was in it, I never thought those things of like, am I enough? Am I good enough? And it was just always there of like, you need to do harder. You need to do better. You should be more. Like, don't slip up. And then when I left and I really started to learn who I am, I slowly started realizing, and God bless the dating world, getting into there.
Yeah.
I realized, wow, I have really struggled with that enoughness.
Yeah.
My whole life.
Yeah.
And I fought in that marriage too, to be like, I'm trying to be good enough. Am I be good enough?
Yeah.
I do A, B, and C, then I'll get his love.
Well, you know, what you're speaking to is really important, because like one of the things I explain in the book is like, well, why do we all have that? Right. And exactly. The way you're speaking about it really reminds me of how I teach about it. Like when we're vulnerable babies, and I know you have a lot of moms here. So this is, first of all, moms, be gentle with yourselves. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. And I'm going to describe something that happens to kids, happened to you when you were a kid, might be happening to your kids, but try to be nice. But when we're vulnerable babies, we're biologically wired to know, because we're ultimately little animals that can't do anything for ourselves. So we're biologically wired to know that we need these people loving us to keep us safe and alive. And therefore, we're going to do whatever it takes before we can even think to try to keep our caregivers close and happy. And so a mom who's glassing over because she can't console her child, she's overwhelmed, of course, a father or a mother who's shaming the child for being in a way that they don't approve of, you know, all of these things happen. And when we're tiny and dependent, we have essentially two options of how to understand even before we can think. And one option is we can realize, oh shit, I'm this little innocent baby and these people who are taking care of me are causing me harm. And they're basically like, I'm good, world bad. And think about how scary that would be when you're dependent on the bad quote unquote world. Of course, I'm oversimplifying, no one's ultimately bad. But the other option is, well, I must be doing bad. Maybe I can do better. And so there's this false sense of control that happens. And for a child that is dependent, that's going to be the most adaptive strategy is, let me try to be more what mom or dad wants. Let me clean my room. Let me get good grades. And you're speaking so beautifully about that same sentiment that, of course, until you get into the roots of that wound and really transform it, they're still going to be operating that way. And we're living in a world that is saying, hey, instead of feeling your bad feelings, do this course, buy this outfit, do this hair treatment, make sure your skin looks like this. We're all taught, just try to be better and you'll be lovable or enough. And that's when you see people at the peak of their careers, either ending their lives by suicide or overdose or something. Because like, no matter how good you do, how much better you do, that doesn't actually quell that pain inside that we had since we were tiny of being like, am I acceptable? And what I'll say just real quick is like the only thing that I found that actually moves that out or heals that is learning to be able to include the part that felt that way so long, let it feel how it feels and have that feeling flow out of the body by letting yourself feel how bad you feel. Like that's the only way to feel better is to feel how bad you feel.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Like, right. And people don't do that. They don't know how. They don't take the time to do it. You know,
exactly.
And I think the biggest thing is like, they don't know how, like people just have no awareness of it. And then, you know, and then I get the clients and the women that because of this way they were raised and their attachment and like dependent and like the conditional love, then I see them now at the stage of like, they have no self-love for themselves and self-care for themselves turns into being selfish.
Yeah. Yeah.
And their whole role becomes caring for other people. And that's how they show up. That's how they're like, oh, I'm a good person then.
Yeah. Well, the patriarchy is certainly, I mean, women are programmed to just make themselves like caretakers versus like centering their own experience. For sure. Yeah. I think what you're saying about people don't know how is really true. I think we're living in a moment where like feeling your feelings is cool, which is really exciting because it wasn't always. In 2024, you see the bumper sticker in theory, but it's like after decades of shutting down feelings, whether it was because your parents said you're too sensitive or no one responded to your feelings, so it was too painful, or maybe someone had an experience mm-hmm. like me where you had a trauma that was just beyond your capacity to tolerate. If you've shut yourself down for long enough, even if you want to feel, it's like a practice of how do you bring your system back online? How do you learn how to bring your awareness and your attention inside? How to stay with this thing that you're doing everything you can to avoid? And so that's really what I hope the book is like the how-to manual of like how to find the parts of you locked in your emotional basement because you were sure they made you unlovable, how to court them back, how to start a relationship with them. And then once they start to be like, yeah, I feel like shit. I feel like a little ghoul. I feel like an unlovable monster because that's how they feel from being cast out our whole lives. How to help them clear out their pain, how to work with anger, sadness, grief, shame in very concrete ways.
Right. Okay. So now since we're talking about clearing out, let's talk about poop.
Okay. All right. So here's my question for you, Melissa. Okay. When you got that sensation in your guts this morning that it was go time, that rumbling, cramping time to poop, did you check your social media stats, eat a muffin, buy an outfit, try to like get some new Tinder match to move that feeling through you? Or did you go to the bathroom and not take, but leave a poop?
Exactly.
Right. We were taught how to relate to these intense gut level sensations mm-hmm. that we need to poop. We were potty trained, but emotions are similarly intense sensations, also signaling that something needs to be moved through our bodies. No one taught us that, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're all spending our lives trying to engage in what I call our drugs of choice, whether for me, it's pretty objects, earrings, outfits, some people with success, validation, porn, being a good mom could be a drug of choice instead of having your feelings.
I agree with that one completely.
Yeah, we're all trying to escape this uncomfortable body-based sensation thing because we don't know that, well, actually the literal only way to not feel as bad as you feel is to feel as bad as you feel. And so I just found, before we started talking, I said this, it's like making my entire brand selling people their pain in the form of their poop is like questionable, right? Like all of the women of the publishing industry were like, honey, we don't talk about poop. Like my TEDx coach is like, the only thing that could make this better is if you weren't talking about poop. Like no one really talks about poop. But as you're saying, we don't talk about the part of us that feels like poop. There's a bridge there where it's like, there's a little bit of privacy and shame, but literally, we all poop. If you're living in the world and eating and not pooping, or even not even eating, but not pooping, you're going to be sick and die. And similarly, in the inundation of our intense world with the decades of emotional impact, not having our feelings move through us leads to disease, anxiety, depression, death, drug use.
People don't realize that.
No. Well, they do in a way because they know they're suffering.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at some point you're like, is buying new sweaters working? Is doing more whatever your thing is working? I mean, but I don't think they realize that what would work is learning to feel bad. And, you know, the metaphor of poop is really, it's like amazing how far out it tracks. It's like when we have to poop, you don't ask yourself why, right? You just get to a place where you can do it. Hopefully you're not digging in it. It might be interesting to see what's in there. But you just know you have to poop and you feel better after you do. And it's not a big deal. And if you did it yesterday or even earlier that day, that's a great day. You're not like, I'm weak. What's wrong with me? And ideally, when our emotions come, it's not always the appropriate place to have a big feeling release, right? Like if one of us got hit with an emotion during this podcast, we wouldn't break into sobbing. And like, maybe we would feel our feelings because we're cool like that, but we wouldn't intentionally try to make this moment the moment to clear out our backlog of unprocessed pain. But you also, we wouldn't shit on the desk or at your desk at work either. You get yourself to a place where you can have this release and wash up and go back to your life lighter, brighter, less full of it. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm basically teaching people is you don't need to know why. There's great detail about this in the book. I don't need to tell you all now, but like, you just need to know that a feeling needs to move. You need to learn to identify the sensations as a signal that needs to happen. You need to learn the way the different feelings move. There's a couple different energetics. Emotions are either explosive or implosive. You can learn some cool techniques of how to physicalize them, how to actually support them moving through you, kind of like emotional laxatives, if you will, and then how to recover from it. Most people are afraid if they feel their feelings, they'll never get out of their feelings. I'm like, I double dog dare you to try to cry for 5 minutes straight. Most people, if you're not in an acute crisis, can't even sustain connection to their feelings that long. I know you said your mom's maybe in the overwhelmed camp. We can talk about that. But yeah, it's basically like if you look at how you relate to your poop, you can learn almost everything you need to know about how to relate to your feelings. And I suggest it. I call my approach emotional potty training.
Today's episode is brought to you by Million Dollar Body Labs. Now, if you're serious about leveling up your fitness game, which I know you are because you are here listening to this podcast, I have got some gold to share with you. Million Dollar Body Labs Day and Night Shred Stack has been a total game changer for me. And you guys know I only share what I use and we only share the best on this podcast. I know it's going to be amazing for you too. This powerful duo features Fast Aid and Complete Restore, two products that will take your training and recovery to the next level. First up is Fast Aid. It's an incredible BCA supplement, branched chain amino acids. And did you know that BCAAs can boost muscle growth up to 22%? Plus, they help reduce muscle soreness and fatigue, allowing you to push harder in your workout. Fast Aid has been my secret weapon. It really has, for keeping my energy levels high and my muscles strong and growing. If you've been putting off ordering, now's the time to experience these amazing benefits. And we have Complete Restore. This is a recovery aid. Take it before you sleep. You don't have to take it every single night, but it's an absolute lifesaver, especially for nights when you just can't get enough sleep. Quality recovery is key for better performance, and Complete Restore helps you bounce back even when you're sleep deprived. Proper recovery can enhance athletic performance up to 20% and significantly lower the risk of injuries. It's perfect for us busy moms who need all the help we can get. I can't stress enough how much I love these products and how they've transformed my fitness journey, and I have to share them with you. If you've heard me talk about them before and haven't taken the plunge, don't wait any longer. Join the Bob Mom community in getting stronger, feeling better, and loving every step of the way with Million Dollar Body Labs Day and Night Shred Stack. Use the code BOMBMOM to save. Back to the show.
I love that. It's like all over her Instagram page, you guys. Emotional potty training for grownups. Like, yep. I love it. And this, as you're talking, I'm just sitting here and I'm just like, oh my God, this makes so much sense.
Yeah.
In doing it. But there's a couple things that you said. One, emotions are signals that things need to move. For some reason, when you said that, it was just like a light bulb went off. And many people think I'm just like, they feel this emotion and they think that something's wrong. And that like, it's almost like a sense of panic. I have a daughter off at college right now. We've podcasted about it, whatever. And she's having a really hard time. Just like, just a tough time being away, missing everyone, different home. And so she, a lot of tears, a lot of crying. And when she gets tearful, she gets mad at herself right now. And she's like, I feel like I've cried all day long. Like, what's wrong with me? I'm crying again. And I'm like, honey, that doesn't mean anything was wrong. You're like feeling your emotions. It's okay to feel them and move them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to get her this book.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Yeah. And I do think, I agree. We think something's wrong. And sometimes something is, it's like a signal that something's hurting. But if we can, instead of being like, oh no, I don't want to deal with that. Part of what's hard is that we turn away from, because we don't want to have these feelings, we turn away from the parts of us that are hurting, particularly when it comes to that core stuff, like, you know, like what you were talking about shame, not enoughness, that like we want to talk ourselves into feeling better. And there's a lot of industries that do that, like the mindset industry or the manifest your reality industry, even certain components of the therapeutic industry. They're like, oh, I did a bad job, or oh, am I not enough? No, you did a good job. And so you end up kind of like stuck in this, like dipping your toe in the pain and then jumping out of it. Or like, you know, it's almost like trying to ride two horses at once. Whereas I'm like, maybe there's a door at the bottom of the well of your pain. And can you let yourself sink all the way down into it? Let yourself really hurt and see what happens after that, where you can actually honor the parts of you. And I teach how to do this. You're not going to understand how from me just saying this, but like the parts that are hurting, they need to be included, allowed, and taken seriously, meaning not dismissed. Talking ourselves out of our feelings is very similar to what happened when we were kids. There's nothing to be afraid of. Go to bed. You know, it's like, well, I am afraid. So it's like, how do we let the parts of us that are afraid, that are sad, that are ashamed, be as they are, feel how they feel. And then that's how you release the like decades of unfelt pain. And then you recover, you know, and there is an art to it, I think, you know, or I would have made a bumper sticker and not a book, but it's learnable. And then once you do enough of it, you can kind of get to a place where like, the goal isn't always to be digging in your emotional shit. It's to get to a place where your system is healthy and processes feelings when you need to, where something hard happens, you can feel your way through it, you recover.
Yeah, I think that was important to hear of like, you're not just always in the shit up to your eyeballs, that you do get a place where you, it's like you feel it, you process it, you let it go.
Yeah, absolutely.
That gives me hope that I'm glad that you said
that.
Okay, how can we ground ourselves when we are in the middle of just like, oh my God, this just happened. And we're in a situation that's probably not in our control. Situation out of our control, but we're feeling all these emotions. Do you have any suggestions of like, how can we ground ourselves in that moment?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. And this question is, I know that my people suggested it, but I'm going to do it in a different way. I think like, the most important thing is to feel our bodies. It's like, if you're overwhelmed, like you're in fear, you're in panic, you're like, oftentimes people will kind of disassociate. They'll feel like they're floating. They'll feel wobbly. They'll feel kind of less powerful. It's like bending your knees, flaring your toes, like lifting and flaring your toes, doing a Kegel or two, taking a breath, feeling your low belly, feeling like a connection to the ground, imagining your roots going all the way down into through whatever, however many floors up you are away from the earth, down into the earth, remembering that you are grounded, literally ground yourself. Imagine anything that's overwhelming. You could take a breath and kind of imagine it moving down and out through your feet. That would be just like a basic energetic kind of like, how do I get back in my vessel where I have tools to approach whatever's happening. As far as emotions go, I mean, there's a few things. It's like, I think one question you want to ask is this a moment where I need to be functioning not in a non-emotional way? Is this a moment where I need to make a fast, rational decision? Is this a moment where I need to respond quickly? Or is this a moment where I'm just sitting in my house, there's a lot of overwhelming stuff happening in my life, but there's no reason why I can't have a little pity party for how overwhelmed I feel? And then really lean into the parts and let them welcome them. Yeah, tell me, honey, like you could talk to them. This is a step I call conversing, as if it's your child or niece or dog. Like, how loving.
Say, like an inner child work.
How loving would you be if it was another being that you don't have resistance to, that you want to take care of? You can do it that way if that helps you connect to it. Eventually, the secret sauce move, the ninja move, the crux move is you have to realize it is you feeling all those feelings. So the best place to release the pain is from the becoming the part that's like, yeah, I don't know if I can do this. That's where you can really like let it out. And then you would recover. So I mean, knowing, do I have space? Is this a moment where I need to just like stay in my reasonable, not have a pity party, or can I melt down a little bit, is a good question. And then I would say learning the skills of how to move your awareness into the part that's hurting, how to move the energy there, and how to recover is going to help you.
Yeah.
Just like, and you'll feel better after you have a little cry. Most of the time there's some relief. If you're crying a lot, and I wonder this about your daughter, if you're emoting a lot and there's no relief, it's something worth looking at, is like what, and sometimes there can be that someone's in a victim story. This is always happening to me. And so you just finding a sense of agency and choice can help there be more relief. That's something I think a lot of people come to me with, is like, hey, it's not that I don't feel my feelings. I'm always feeling my feelings, but it doesn't help. And so there's kind of like a, more of the world is probably numb and disconnected from their feelings. But I do think moms are probably a particularly overwhelmed, maybe flooded population.
Yeah. Well, you had said something before real briefly about like, letting us ourselves cry and then feeling like we won't be able to get like it back and stuff. And I have experienced that. And I know as a mom, and a lot of moms listening too, we feel like I don't have time to lose my shit. And I don't mean lose my shit on other people, but just like let it all go and be vulnerable. And I have been in that place a few years ago when a relationship ended. And I was like, I would walk around all day and I would feel the need to cry and whatever. And I'd be like, I'm afraid to, because I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to pull myself together.
Yeah. And when you say that's happened to you, did you actually ever cry and not come out of it? Or you're just saying it happened to you as in you were afraid it would happen to you?
I was more afraid. And then when I actually finally did sit down, I didn't die. I did come out of it. Dude, I probably was one of those people that cried for 5 minutes straight.
Yeah. Well, that's good that. Job. Mm-hmm. Good job. Yeah. I mean, I do want to acknowledge and validate. I do think while raising children and young children, it is one of the times where you will have almost the least amount of space and bandwidth to like really track your own feelings. And that's part of why so many of us, the wounds we have, because it is so hard to raise another person. It is so hard to deal with your own feelings. Our parents and generations back, they had less tools and skills than we do about feelings. So if a mom doesn't want to deal with her feelings, she's not going to want to deal with her kids' feelings. Her kids' feelings are going to bring up her feelings. I mean, and like, I'm not trying to say this to make moms feel doomed, but just to validate, it is so hard. It's a hard job.
Yes.
Having beings dependent on you around the clock relentlessly, really hard. And if you want to not completely lose yourself in the process and model to your children what healthy emotional regulation digestion looks like, realizing that you're allowed to have feelings. It's actually better. I mean, as long as you're not showing your kids, hey, I need you to fix my feelings. Yeah, I need you to save my feelings, which a lot of us got. A lot of people get that. Like showing that like mommy's sad and mommy just had a little cry and now mommy feels better is totally healthy for the kid to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, watch your kid. If you have a tiny child, you're going to see them melt down and recover quickly. They know what's up. Don't train them out of it. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I remember being a child and I grew up feeling very responsible. Like I was the middle child. I had two older, two younger. I'm smack in the middle. And I was the one that like kept it together. I had like,
you need to fall apart more than anybody.
Yeah. And I found myself like very attached and like wouldn't want to leave and go and do things that a normal, like even teenager would want to do, because I'd be like, is my mom going to be okay? Is she going to what's going to happen between my parents when I'm gone, or who's going to do this and who's going to do that? And I've realized through the work that like little Melissa needs to be told a lot that like, hey, adult Melissa is here now and it's not your responsibility. It never should have been.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, I've really had to learn and work through that. It's okay for my kids to know when I'm sad and when I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I need extra help today in the kitchen because I am feeling these emotions, and just give me a minute.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
And
that you get to be your main job. Like that the person whose feelings you really want to be caring toward are yours. And like, of course, it sounds like you had your little empath kind of wiring of what does everyone else need? Your system was really good at tracking. What does this system need? Which ultimately one thing, you know, for people, I'm sure a lot of your moms are going to relate to this. Like moms are natural and people conditioned as women, natural martyrs, natural overgivers, sacrificing themselves. We're taught that's what we're supposed to be as women. But we think we're like so generous. We're like, oh my God, I'm just so good to everyone. But if you realize most of us are doing that at a fundamental level to feel safe, it's like to make yourself feel okay. Then it's like, wow, you could do a 30-step version of that. I'm going to give my cookies to everyone and see if anyone gives me cookies back, or if I just shouldn't eat for the rest of the day. Or you could be like, I know how to make cookies. I'm going to make cookies, eat my cookies, or, you know, broccoli, whatever your thing is. And like, I'm going to fill myself up first. If you realize that you're ultimately just trying to take care of your own feeling of, am I enough? Am I safe? Do I belong? You can take out the middle steps of giving yourself away to others. Now, this isn't totally true with your kids, right? But like learning that practice, oxygen mask on first, I'm going to take care of myself first. And then where do you have extra, especially if you're a mom, for your other relationships? Like, can you fill yourself up and give only from the place of extra? Can you put yourself on the list of people you're loving? And the closer to the top, the better, honestly. And I know that's hard. And our society tells us, well, don't be selfish. Don't be full of yourself. You know, my friend at my 40th birthday said to me, you know, people were like calling out little like comments and attributes in the room. And she yelled, Rachel's full of herself in the best possible way. And it's funny because it's like, who else are we supposed to be full of? Like, we get to be ourselves. And like, the more we're willing to be who we are and really like own who the quirky, weird, strange, wonderful people we are, full of our own care, our own essence, the more we can like manage this crazy world and give from a place of like overflow versus trying to manipulate into something.
Yeah. God, I love that confidence. And I love that we're just exposing all of our listeners to that because who else are we supposed to be full of then? Like,
no.
And no one else is going to do this for us.
Right. And we're easier to control if we're told not to love ourselves or that we have to look these ways or do this. I mean, it's like if you like a woman who loves herself is kind of an unstoppable force, which we need right now. I don't know what you guys think is going on the planet, but I say we could have some more empathic, empowered, self-loving women. That would be great.
Yes, absolutely. Like I am all about it. And that's one of my missions and like what I do. A lot of people think that, oh yeah, when I want to lose weight, I'll go to you and like, I'll work with you because you're like a health and fitness coach. And I'm like, no. It's so much more than that. And I wish people in my industry, in the fitness industry would look at that because otherwise they're just stuck on this rat race of like, oh, I need to eat more salads. I need to work out more. And I'm like, no. You need to do the mental health steps of loving yourself more and empowering yourself more because then you do show up at the gym when you don't feel like it.
Right.
Because you know you're worth it. And you're like, I don't want to do this, but like, I'm too good to miss a workout.
I didn't realize exactly that's what your deal is, but I will say my most religious practice and like the hard stop I gave you time-wise is like, I really need to exercise. I exercise almost every day because it makes me feel so good. I mean, like, and all of during the pandemic, I listened to this podcast by Dr. Gupta and like he had all these psychological, physical health experts. All of them were asked like, what's the biggest bang for your buck? Exercise is literally the best thing you could do for your mental health. And obviously everyone has different ranges of ability, but it's just like such a no-brainer. It's like a, you know, hormonal version of an antidepressant that's not going to make you fat or fuck with your sex drive. Excuse me if you're not allowed to say fuck on your show. I'm sorry. I did.
We say fuck a lot. But no, we like literally have studies now that we can see that when like a muscle is like contracted, it legit releases antidepressants. Like we can like see that chemically happen.
So good.
Now. And I'm like,
so good. Yeah.
Yet women, when they feel like shit or money is tight or like something is happening, the first thing they stop doing is their workouts and caring for themselves. And I'm like, isn't that interesting? The one thing that can help us, women will start slacking on.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting topic. And I think your book is just going to go perfectly with my program. This will be our probably our next book of the month. Like,
awesome.
Yeah. Everyone will be mandatory to read it. Do you do audio version of it as well?
Oh, it's out there. I had to audition to read it, but I got it. I got the part. So you can have me read to you in your ears. It'd be so great. I
like your voice too. I like your voice. No, this has been absolutely amazing, Rachel. We were meant to have our paths cross. Like this is amazing. You are such a guiding light and your story and your journey is just so inspirational. And I think your message of fucking healing and feeling and letting that shit go. Like, it's exactly what we needed on this podcast at this very moment.
Thank you.
And like with my clients and stuff too. And I hope this is one of those episodes that people like click those little three dots and like share and get it out there. Be like, hey, mom, you need to read this book. Hey, friend, you need to listen to this podcast episode. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And I just want to say kind of maybe in closing, it's like the amazing thing that if we learn how to feel as bad as we feel, we'll feel better. Like just take that in for a second. Like, I mean, exercising, eating well, doing all the things we're doing to try to feel better, telling ourselves we're enough in the mirror and we're beautiful. That's all great. But until you really know how to include and allow the parts that feel bad to feel how they actually feel, you're always going to feel like you're full of it. But when you do that, you get permission to just feel as bad as you feel. And then suddenly you feel better and better and better and better. It's like, I don't know. It's like, it's counterintuitive. And then it becomes like the most simple, obvious thing. And it really works. So I encourage people to like learn how to do it. You're gonna feel better. Yeah. You're gonna feel worse and then better.
Exactly. It's like working out, right? You're gonna feel worse. You're gonna feel like shit doing it because it's gonna burn and it's gonna hurt. But that's going to make you feel better.
Right. And I think like once you get good at it, once like I love the burn of working out, like once you realize that, like, and especially once you start trying to have your feelings, you realize it's hard to do. Like as soon as you start, like my clients come in, they'll be like, I was like cry for 10 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, I felt my shame. We're like, woo! It's like it flips the whole thing on your head where the actual pain starts to feel almost pleasurable because you're finally having it. And I bet you like the burn of working out. It's like, we can be neutral about these things, if not enjoy them. And imagine the thing you're most afraid of experiencing, you start to get proud of yourself for having. It's like game changing.
Game changer. Oh, Rachel, this has been like absolutely incredible. You're such a blessing. Thank you so much again for coming on
the show. My pleasure. My absolute pleasure. Yeah. And I'm happy. You know, I hope your moms get the help.
Oh, they will. Tell us, where can everyone find you? We'll put everything in the show notes as well. Where can they find you?
Well, all of my, everything is hubbed at thefeelingsmovement.com. Thefeelingsmovement.com. The feelings movement being the revolution of us having our feelings and also a bowel movement. You're welcome. Okay. And then Instagram is probably the place to get like the quick little bites that I'm at. Healing Feeling Shit Show. Perfect. But you can find that through the feelings movement.
Awesome. Awesome. You guys check out the show notes, get the book, start reading immediately, get the audiobook, start listening, fill your ears, whatever works for you. Thank you again, Rachel, for coming on. You're absolutely
my pleasure. Everyone, thanks for having me.
Stay safe, stay healthy. Until next time.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. This is given with the understanding that neither the host, practice of the practice, or the guest are providing legal, mental health, nutritional, or other professional information. If you need a professional, you should find one.